Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. We recently attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas, April 15 through 19. And over that five-day period, the convention brought together over 65,000 of our closest friends and featured keynotes and targeted sessions focused on topics to help future-proof your career. Well, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with many broadcast executives and thought leaders about their focus and plans for the year. Big thanks to ENCO and Bennstown for allowing us to record Radio on Main Street live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention. Now, over the next several weeks, you will have the opportunity to listen in on some of our conversations. And in this third episode of the series, we hear the conversation I had with Jonathan Brewster, CEO of El Dorado Broadcasters, a privately held company that owns seven stations in Victor Valley, California, and three stations in Yuma, Arizona.
So again, Jonathan, congratulations on your new position. And tell us a little bit about what's going on at El Dorado.
You know, El Dorado, we've got two markets. It's a great company with great staffs and thriving markets. So, and the positions we have in the markets are really unparalleled for radio and really any medium. So we have a lot of room to run on the field right now.
And growth opportunities?
Growth opportunities, definitely, both within our markets. We're looking to just grow our core business, grow digital, certainly, grow events. We have strong positions in all three. And you know, eventually, hopefully, add some markets onto the company. We'll see.
Love to hear that.
Yeah.
That's great. So the theme of the NAB this year is celebrating 100 years in broadcasting, which is a pretty big deal. It's not just broadcasting, but media and innovation. Is there a specific project or initiative going on at El Dorado that you're most proud of right now?
It may sound a little hokey, but it's also just getting back to our roots. It's using a lot of technology, but also really trying to figure out, okay, what made radio so special for the last 100 years? And really it's serving the community, serving the advertisers. So we've been adding staff to, you know, for on-air, creating local content, focused on really building brands, broader brands in the market, both online and on-air. And because there's honestly, in many markets across the country, including ours, there's really a vacuum for local content that's not on big national platforms that gets watered down. So our staff has really been focused on that, and we're adding to our staff to do that.
That's, again, another great signal. You know, we hear so much about how difficult it is to recruit people into our industry. Are you having that issue? And here you are hiring. You know, are you finding people?
You know, we've found people from both in the industry. We hired a gentleman recently who was a local club DJ. And he had done some, you know, DJ work with us when we've been on site at certain locations, or he's done it for event companies in our area. And had a conversation with him a few months back. It's like, why aren't you on the air? He's like, nobody's asked me. And it's like, well, you know, so we started him voice tracking midnight to 2 and midnight to 3 and just coached him up. And then we, you know, now he's doing afternoon drive on our rhythmic station in town, and he's having a great time. He's doing a terrific job. He's got a big name in town. So it's just, I think our industry, we just have to look, you know, around. We have another young lady who's on our news team, found her in college and was an intern, and trying to develop local talent. And but you have to make it fun for them to come into the industry. But you just have, you know, like, at least like I was, you know, I was just identified by somebody who you know, saw a 12-year-old kid and mentioned it to him, and all of a sudden the flame was lit.
Well, it sounds like as an organization, you're very committed to live and local.
Yes. Yeah. We're using and building that as much as we can. We certainly have some syndicated product. We are looking to add local content on our news talk as well. But the biggest brands that we'll have in the market is going to be our local personalities. And we've got some remarkable remarkably strong personalities in our market, and we want to keep them happy, keep them growing with our company, and then find some compadres that they can develop as well.
That's so great. How's business?
Business is good. You know, we had a really good first quarter, and it was driven by local, some good digital growth as well. And, you know, heading into second quarter, you know, both of those are very strong. The macro picture, you know, it seems like has impacted more national and regional business.
Yep.
For a company like ours that relies less on them, still important, but it relies less on them, we feel we can control our destiny.
So obviously with the dependence on local, what are you hearing from your local advertisers? How are they feeling about the economy and their business in general?
Yeah, we heard more concerns, honestly, back in the fall. And it seems like as we've gone into the new year and over the last few months, there's been less concern. It seems like last fall everybody was kind of creeped out, at least on the local level. And when the sky didn't fall, they're like, okay, well, you know, our business is doing okay. And then if we're out there in communicating with them, developing ideas, creating ideas, and communicating them, they've been signing on because, you know, they see them, and we're also in a healthy market, the Victor Valley as well as down in Yuma. Both markets economically are doing well, and that certainly helps us.
Mm-hmm. I would love to say we're totally out of the pandemic, but there are still some peripheral issues that we're all dealing with. Are you 100% back in the office? Do you have a hybrid situation, or how, as an organization, have you been dealing with the aftermath of COVID?
Yeah, we're back in the office, and they were back in the office. They've been back in the office for some time, even prior to me joining the company.
Right.
It just seems like in the local, the small market, mid-sized market radio, you don't have people with big long commutes like you might in major markets. So they'd rather come into the office with their 10 or 20 minute commute and get work done, and we certainly accommodate some people that have other commitments, where some people might come in a little earlier, leave a little earlier, things like that. But we don't have anybody doing the hybrid 2 days from home, anything like that.
So full steam ahead.
Full steam ahead. Yeah.
Love that. I love that. So one of our focuses at the REB has been category specific, and that really came as advisement from our sales advisory committee, which I know over the years you've been a part of. Mm-hmm. Are there any specific business categories that are emerging that you're seeing in your markets? And conversely, are there any surprises of categories that may not be as robust as they once were?
You know, I think if you talk to other people today, everybody's going to tell you auto has not bounced back from pre-COVID. That said, as supply chain issues work their way out, and also that dealers are finding just going to the digital well as their, nearly their sole source for leads and sales, that's not pulling it anymore.
You're seeing that come back?
We're seeing that, at least in our markets, come back a little bit. I think part of it is the way we're communicating with the dealers. We're also really talking about the long sale process and consideration process that goes into selling a car, and they're so focused on hitting that month, those sales numbers, and we have to try to get them to take a couple of steps back and get them to take that leap of faith about, hey, what's your brand going to be in a year from now if you pull back off radio or mass media? And so we've found we're slowly crawling back to some of that. We also have some digital solutions, honestly, that augment what they're doing as their core. Healthcare has been very strong for us. We found some interesting categories, whether it's like plumbing for whatever, in one of our markets, plumbing is really strong. We have like a plumber war going on. And the great thing is everybody that's using radio, it's working for them.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you mention plumbing. We've been talking about this from a recruitment standpoint because when you look at, plumbing, electricians, we're finding as we look at these categories that there is such a lack of people being interested in these careers, and we need these people desperately, and we're sort of thinking that that could be an interesting category from a recruitment standpoint to help these certain industries recruit people to apprentice and become plumbers and engineers, and it's a real problem.
Sure, it really is, and recruitment has been hot for us, whether it's been for industrial, for the school system, for police departments, you know, on and on, a lot of categories, a lot of big employers in our community are having a huge, huge problem with that. In one of our markets, we have a college that has really opened a lot of technical training for plumbers, for truck drivers,
right.
And all of those types of categories. They've been advertising on the radio, and it's just knocked the cover off the ball, and they've just been doing, they've been really happy with the results. They continue advertising because they're seeing the results that when their message gets out to the radio.
So radio works.
Oh, yeah.
I love to hear that. Can you provide a little bit of an overview of what's next and what are you thinking about as far as the future for El Dorado?
Sure. Yeah, we look to expand our brands, and we want to maximize our listening on air, terrestrial listening. There's a lot of concern about the dashboard right now, and it's just puzzling to me what some certain manufacturers are considering to do with the AM.
Right.
I know people in our industry are working very hard to drive home the point that, you know, radio really does serve the public, and certainly with AM, it has. Dropping that would have a disproportionate impact on minority broadcasters, certain niche broadcasting, news talk certainly, and in rural areas. That's which includes part of our market. So that's a real concern, I think, generally that the public should be concerned about, not just broadcasters. And
it's funny, or not funny, but it's interesting you mentioned consumers. Because my guess is most consumers have no idea that this is happening.
Absolutely not. No. It's just they're going to buy a car one day and it's like, oh, the AM, the station they've relied on or the station they might rely on in an emergency can't be reached.
Right.
Or can't be heard. And that's highly concerning from a broadcaster standpoint, and it should be from a public standpoint. So we're looking to expand as well, build websites, news information websites. Obviously, the local newspapers have really just suffered dramatically in terms of their ability to educate and deliver news in a marketplace, and we're trying to fill that void both on air and online. Event-wise, we have the Bully Pulpit to be able to promote events, and we do a lot ourselves, but we also partner in various ways with promoters and communities to do events to keep that local community, local feel going. I think, radio is, it's that 100-year-old thing that keeps on ticking, and in marketplaces that have really been suffered the loss of local television, local newspaper, local radio is still thriving.
You've been an industry leader for quite a few years. You were the CEO of Cherry Creek, which was a very robust organization that you ended up selling, and Town Square purchased that. Now El Dorado, and you're helping to grow this organization. So putting on your industry hat, if you will, what are some of your thoughts for our business that we should be focused on to continue to make sure that radio continues to be as relevant as possible?
Sure. I think it gets back to the people we have on air and the people we have developing content. And it's radio's proven, because of our continued high reach that we have, being the number one reach medium, that people are thirsty for local content. They can listen to music pretty much anywhere. But what we've been able to continue to do is serve up that content, connect with people both on air, at events, and online. And we've got to continue to expand our brand, use radio as the platform to expand our brand. And radio will always be there because it's so easy to consume, but we've got to keep it relevant and compelling.
It's interesting you talk about brands. Now that radio is listened to or consumed on so many different ways, brand building is interesting because if you think of Alexa as an example, you may have a moniker that you use for your station, but you can't necessarily use that to be reached on Alexa. So it's almost changing how we view ourselves as a brand to make sure that our consumers, however they're consuming us, can find us.
Yeah, and want to find us, right? Go through whatever, you know, few or bunch of steps that it takes, depending on the platform, to be able to get to us. I was at a session yesterday, and they were talking about how Amazon is doing some work to better deliver local terrestrial radio signals. We'll see how, you know, hopefully, you know, that's a good thing for all parties in the near future and down the road, that it doesn't come back to bite us in some way that we've got to consider. But I think that shows you that even Amazon realizes that people want to be able to consume their local radio stations online, and they're trying to make it easier. And so, you know, we've got to keep the pressure on in terms of good content. And that goes to automakers as well for AM and FM band, is they've got to realize that if they back off on making those available and easy to consume in the car, that there will be a level of dissatisfaction with the consumer with those manufacturers.
You bring up another very interesting point, because you mentioned Amazon, and in some cases, as broadcasters, we may consider Amazon a competitor, and yet they're a partner.
The industry's gotten very complicated, hasn't it? And it's fun, and I think, again, from our standpoint, we have to continue to compete and partner, so to speak, with all of these platforms from a position of strength. And again, the strength is the content, the strength is the local connection, the strength is the demand from the listener and the communities that they want to consume us in easy ways, beyond just in the car on their radio, or in their garage on their radio, or wherever. And if Amazon realizes that, if car manufacturers realize that, if other online platforms, et cetera, realize that, they'll continue to want to accommodate us, so they aren't negatively impacted and become less relevant because they can't deliver good local content.
So we need to get our arms around all the consumers and have them demand that
it's got to be part
of
it.
You know,
there are things going on now. I think I'm involved with the Southern California Broadcasters Association, and you know, we're looking at ways to harness the power of all of our radio stations to get some of that word out there in terms of what we do for the community, what we do for advertisers.
Right, that's a great point. So here we are at the NAB, technically the first day. What were you looking most forward to? There's so much going on here. We're on the exhibit floor in the West Hall, but there's other halls and exhibitors all over and lots of sessions. How do you get your arms around this conference, and what are you looking forward to seeing and touching and viewing here?
You know, well, beyond chatting with you, of course. it's one of those things where you look at the schedule, it's like, boy, I want to be there. And you end up being kind of a pinball. and I just look for mostly for interesting people and, people I just think are good thinkers, and have come in from different angles on things and just seem to have delivered different types of thoughts in the past. And there's a lot of them, fortunately, here. Being a small mid-sized market operator, we aren't necessarily on the cutting edge. We like to see, kind of what the other, larger operators are adopting and what seems to be working for them. Let them do some of the beta stuff, and we'll come in behind them.
Right.
So really interested to see some of the things that are working. Mm-hmm. From a session standpoint, I think we're all interested in audience growth, sales retention, and how we can get the word out there, from a session you're doing this afternoon, is, in terms of the selling of radio and how to communicate that and how to get it across to advertisers to continue their advertising, but also find new prospects.
Right. So what is one trend or a potential change on the horizon that you're most focused on?
Well, I talk to a lot of operators. I think we are, and it kind of gets back to the one of the first points we were talking about, which is we're being who we are in the markets we are in and the unique position we have in our markets. We have a very different model from some of the very large operators that are able to just aggregate large chunks of audience, and it's less important if they dominate in their markets. If they're competitive, they're good. For our model, we need to dominate and to be able to pay for it and have the business model make sense. So that's why we're investing in direct local content and people on the ground to deliver that content. So again, it's going back maybe early mid 1990s.
Well, the roots of the industry.
Yeah, and that's our model. You know, I have a strong belief it will work. But again, we can't just go back with content. We've got to play with the new technology and be basically able to, you know, have our audience hear us wherever they want to and engage with us in as many places as possible.
So we always love to close with these questions. And if you could just think of the statement, radio matters because, and start your sentence that way.
Radio matters because we serve our communities and advertisers with a passion.
Love the P word. And similar, radio works because?
I could say because we serve our communities and our advertisers with a passion. Radio works because we are uniquely equipped to deliver a message for our local advertisers.
You know, you made an interesting comment about, based on the size of the organizations, their focus is quite different than your focus as a smaller company.
Sure.
But if there is one thing that you could have everyone in the industry focus on together as an industry, from your perspective, what would that be? You're in charge now.
Yeah. I would say keeping local radio relevant. And, you know, we're, in the shadow of L.A. We're, you know, not too far from Las Vegas. Serving L.A., serving Las Vegas, serving San Diego, San Francisco, whatever, directly to those people specifically, I think is just as important as it is in the high desert of California. So I think the more the big players really focus on serving their local markets, and certainly that they can then offer the platform to national advertisers. And I really respect a lot of, you know, what the iHearts of the world and Audacies and Cumuluses have done. But I think our the more they serve their local markets, the better our industry will be into the future.
Focusing on content development and on-air talent, El Dorado continues to expand their brands. And as we heard from Jonathan, his company serves their communities and advertisers with a passion and are fully equipped to deliver messages from their local advertisers to their local communities.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.